This evening, I believe God will turn somebody's situation around forever. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. I just want to share briefly with us this evening on what I have titled The Faith Protocol for Accessing the Miraculous. The Faith Protocol. The miraculous is available and it is our heritage to walk in. But when you look at the lives of God's children, you can tell that many are a far cry from that which God expects and God has prepared for them. And so every time we come looking upon the pages of Scripture, our goal is not just to familiarize with Scriptures. Our goal is to access realities meant for our glory and access them in a very tangible manner, so much so that it impacts on existential things. So we are not here to find scriptures and quote. We are here to break into doorways in the spirit. And on the strength of our access, our lives are changed. Praise God. This is why we take our time to study the scriptures, to find the secrets that are meant for our glory. Paul was speaking in 1 Corinthians 2 from verse 6. He said, concerning the secrets of God, he said, how be it we speak wisdom among them that are perfect? He said, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. He said, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. So the secrets that we access from Scripture is designed to bring us into glory, because the destination of the believer is a glorified existence. He said in Romans chapter 8, you read verse 30, he said, him that he foreknew, he predestinated. Him that he predestinated, he called. Him that he called, he justified. And him that he justified, he glorified. We were created to live in a glory order. Our life should not be a life of pity. Our life should be a life envied because of the glory we exude. In 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 and 4, most of you here are familiar with that scripture. He said, according as his divine power, he has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us to what? To glory and to virtue. We were called to glory. Our lives should be a life of glory. Our lives should exude glory. And then to give it proper context, in verse 4, he showed us what he meant by glory. So glory is not that there is fire on your head or that your face is shining. These things can happen. We saw it in the life of Moses. The Bible said he wished not that his face shone. Exodus 34, 29, 30. But that the emphasis of God is not that your eyes should be beaming light. What he meant by glory is that you come into oneness with God and you live like God. You command the things that are possible in the realm of God. That's why in verse 4 he said, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. He said that by these we might become partakers of his divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So when he speaks of glory, it means when they see you, you should mirror God. You should become God's physical address in the visible realm. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1, be ye followers of me, even as I am the follower of Christ. When you encounter me, it's as good as you have encountered God. I live embodying his dimensions and manifesting them. John spoke the same in 1 John 4:17. He said, as he is, he said, so are we, not in heaven, in this world. So when you meet me, anything you can't find in God, you can't find in me. If God is not sick, I can't be sick. If God cannot be stranded, I cannot be stranded. If God cannot be overwhelmed, I cannot be overwhelmed. And then anything you can obtain in God's realm, when you meet me, you will find it. Because as he is, so I am. I manifest his virtues. I manifest his power. I manifest his possibilities. This is the plan in the heart of God when he created this realm. In Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, God said, let us make man, not like any creature, in our image, after our likeness. Let's replicate ourselves in an external vessel. And let these vessels have dominion. This was the plan of God. When he was creating man, he was modeling a being that could capture his essence and reflect it. And he said the byproduct of that being's existence is dominion. So dominion is really not what we pray for. Dominion is what we manifest as a proof of who we are. When we were made in his image and his likeness, we were expected to manifest dominion. And I've taught you before, one of the meaning of the word, because if you study the etymology of that word dominion, the word radar, one of the meanings of that word is glorified existence. That's the same word translated in the Greek as basileus. Kinging through life, reigning through life is glorified reality. So we were created to live the glory life. This is why when God created us, he packaged us with his realities. What makes him and what he has. And when we fell, Jesus came to pay the price for our sins and restored us back to glory. In John 17:22, he said, the glory that you gave to me, this is not, what they have is not different from what I have. He said, the glory which thou gavest me, he said, I have given to them so that they may be one, even as we are one. So Jesus came to remove sin, but salvation was not the final purpose. Salvation was necessary because glorified existence was the goal. And glorified existence is so that you can reflect dominion. So after he removed sin, he brought us into glory by sharing that which he has with us. And he says, so that we will be one, even as he is one. So in the equation of God, intervention will happen if need be. But we were designed to live in dominion. So if you are sick, God will show up. If you are frustrated, God will show up. But God is expecting that you will outgrow that realm. God is expecting that you will go beyond that order of existence, where you don't need to keep calling him to intervene, because now you have understood the modality of functioning like him, because that's what you were created to do. This is why beyond declaration, beyond impartation, in services like this, we teach. Because my goal is that a day will come in a miracle service like this, when we say, if you are healed, come up. Nobody will be healed because nobody came sick. I felt pain at home, but I knew what to do to tackle it. There was a tumor last week, but it died before I came. Everybody knows what to do to live there. So when we are testifying, it's not just, oh, apostle laid hands on me. No, apostle prayed for me. No. The devil came. The spirit of the Lord in me lifted up a standard. He said, when the enemy shall come in, he said, like a flood. See, something is raging from within your spirit. Because he said, they that believe out of their bellies. You know, when you come into this order of existence, you become a mystery. He said, eternity is locked in you. He said, rivers flow out of you. So what are you? When the enemy shall come in, he said, like a flood. The spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard. So when Satan shows up, something is. So you just come to church to testify on how you rubbish Satan. Yeah, how you made a mess of Satan. He showed up, but he came late. Because right now I know who I am. I have entered my reality. I have my mantles. My regalias are on. I'm not calling somebody at midnight to come and help. No, I stand up even if it's 2 a.m. Hey, Satan, See, a time will come when a generation of warriors will rise. Imagine the army of David, that somebody is crying, David, help me. No, sir. The Bible spoke about this man. They encountered things that even David will think twice. They dealt with it. They came back with testimonies. Because everybody was a warrior. In fact, when you made the mistake of saying there's a challenge, before you assign who should handle it, so some have seen it as practicals. They've seen it as IT. They go for training. The Bible said, David said, I desire to drink water from the well that was in Rachel's sepulchre between the garrison of the Philistines. How will you desire water there? That's to tell you, David doesn't see enemies. There was a garrison there, but it meant nothing to David. See, this is what people fight to take over. That's where David wants to drink water from. That means it doesn't take me anything to conquer the enemy. I left them there because it's not yet in my program. But the moment they heard, the Bible said three men gathered themselves together and they broke through the garrison. Three men, not an army. And when they were fighting, one was drawing water. So it was two that took a garrison. When they brought the water, David said, I didn't send you now. Why did you go? Sir, allow us to flex our muscles. Heya! Chada! Give that lady the mic. There's something on her. Jire! Adonai! Manifest! Help me! Imagine when God raises an army and then there is need to take a nation. Two people say, Lord, don't worry, we will take it. Give us 2 months. And like Philip, they enter Samaria. When they are calling you, it's not SOS, it's Samaria has been taken. Three men, and there were many. They had to structure them into ranks. So you hear of the first three, then you hear of the second three, and then you hear of the first 30. And these were dangerous. They, when you read about those men, there's a guy called Abishai. Oh, Abishai told David, listen, I will strike Saul once, not twice. He can finish once. He won't strike twice. There was a time there was a lion in a pit. Abishai saw the lion. If I don't kill this lion, it will kill other people. The guy jumped into a pit with a lion and dismantled it. Is that an army you joke with? The Bible spoke of Eleazar, the son of Ado. The Bible said they were fighting. The army ran. The guy stood his ground. He fought from morning till night. His hand couldn't open. He became one with his weapon. That was Old Testament. They only had a taste of glory. But their enemies fled at their presence. When they wanted to fight, three men can go to war. Three. Go read about Abraham. Four kings took a nation. Abraham carried 318 men and went. And they didn't have the glory. A generation will rise. I say a generation will rise. Men of strength, men of rank, men of stature, that will make a mess of Satan. Sit down for a moment. Let's stay on the word. You are not disadvantaged. There are things you need to hear
There are things you need to know, and then there will be an awakening. The real you will rise. The real you. Even you, when you rise, you will look at yourself and you will be afraid. The psalmist said, I know that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I know. When he started seeing certain dimensions in his life, he knew this wasn't normal. He had become an extension of a reality that is eternal. He had become an extension of a possibility that was immortal, without corruption. Anything that flows out of him had the DNA of God crested upon it. And if you want to rank it, you will only rank it after the order of the divine. This was a dimension that a man handled in the Old Testament. And you think we will gather like this and we'll be fidgeting, afraid that we are finished? No. Satan is in trouble. Because somebody will rise from here tonight. I said somebody will rise from here tonight. Come on, come on. Give the Lord a big shout. Created for glory. We are going somewhere. A generation will rise that will become a wonder to the world. You know, it's under thick darkness that the army is formed. When they think, oh, it's corruption, it's oppression, suddenly men will rise. Men of all rank, all order. Breaking into the economy, breaking into government, break every dimension. You will see strange creatures. And you are like, where did they come from? Under the cover of darkness, God was forging an army. And you are part of that army. You were created for glory. You were created to host and to model God. This is not you. The real you has not yet manifested. When it manifests, even your generation will recognize it. Because when they see that signature, they can't deny it. And one thing God will do for you in a miracle service like this is to begin that protocol of awakening. For tonight, I want to show you how to access and to draw from that realm. Because this is where many have a problem. They don't know how to draw from that realm. You know, you have to draw from the realm. Then you begin to trade with what you have and scale. But many have not even begun to draw. So their lives, as beautiful as it appears, is natural. And so you see them doing what they are doing. It looks like they are doing well. Until one demon strikes. And then the life scatters. Somebody has been a lecturer for 30 years. Even a professor. One strike from the devil, family is wiped out. Somebody is in business, doing business, excelling. 20 years is a mogul. Everybody references him. And then suddenly, a demon strikes. And the business crashes. It becomes like ashes. You can't even remember the name after 3 years. And then you are wondering, what happened? Meaning, he was scaling on natural strength. The supernatural had not come. So as beautiful as the natural is, we must master how to draw the supernatural. Because our adversaries are not only market forces. The powers and the forces contending with us also have their roots in the demonic. I taught you last week that there are 7 layers of natural existence. 8 layers. Number 1, consciousness, when God births you. Number 2 is development, the necessity of training. Number 3 is development of values. And number 4 is application of principles. Number 5 is the realm of productivity. Number 6 is the realm of influence. Number 7 is leadership. Because when influence comes, you scale. And then you need to coordinate and replicate. So leadership. Then number 8 is legacy. We understand natural life. But hear this. When demons become involved, you need the finger of God. Because we have beings from other dispensations that are of the dark order that hates everything about our glory. But one of the ways to walk into glory is by the mysteries of the kingdom. And this is why we want to study very quickly this evening the protocols for drawing from this realm. Because listen, all of us must begin to pipe down realities from this realm. All of us. It shouldn't be something that one pastor, one prophet, one apostle accesses and is coming to give you shots every week. No. We are like jump-starting cables. But after you leave us, you should be able to start your battery and function. Don't come here every Sunday to receive shots. You must understand how the realm works. Master it.
so that you can gain mastery and dominion. Praise God. So as I teach this evening, things will be happening to people. Because a miracle service is beyond a healing service. What God is doing here is not just healing bodies. What God will be doing here tonight, for some of you, strange doors will open. For some of you, strange favors will come upon your life that will trigger strange connections. For some of you, gates of encounters will open so that you step into higher levels of your ordination. For some of you, you will notice that possibilities that you only dreamt of will begin to happen. That's a miracle service. Because we want to access all the latitudes that the devil has created havoc and alter them. And it's beyond bodily infirmities. Read your Bible. John chapter 10 verse 10. The Bible said, the thief cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. He said, but I am come that you might have life, and life to the full. The thief cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. So the operation of the devil is beyond your body. He's not just here to bring sickness. Of course, he brings sickness on people. There are natural causes of sickness, and there are demonic causes for sickness. Read your Bible. Acts chapter 10 verse 38. The Bible said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Meaning, the devil is also involved in sickness. If you study your Bible, in Luke chapter 13, verse 11 to 16, you meet a woman that was bent over. The Bible said she was afflicted by the spirit of infirmity. So the devil attacks your sickness. But sickness is not only where the devil works, even your financial resources. Go read the book of Job. Job was a wealthy man. He was in affluence and abundance. Then Job 1, 12 to 19, we saw that suddenly his fortune began to change. And at the root of it was the attack of the devil. I gave you a scripture the other day in Haggai chapter 1 verse 6. When the people came under a curse, the Bible said they labor, but their wages were little. And it said even the little they got, they put in monies that had, in pockets that had holes. So you'll be greatly mistaken to think all there is about prosperity is natural. I know the place of investment. I know the place of sharpening your giftings and marketing them. I know the place of human connection, leveraging time, leveraging men. I know all of that. I know the place of institution. I know the place of productivity. But when a demon is involved, so that our life is a mess. We even contribute in wrecking our own lives. But when Jesus showed up, you know what happened? That man took 10 cities. The next time Jesus visited, the Bible said the guy took the Decapolis. Meaning the guy had capacity to dominate 10 nations. But he was isolated in the grave, living among dead bodies and putting hurt on himself. So the devil brings shame, humiliation and reproach. And the devil also brings sorrow. You need to see the pains many are going through. Mental pains, emotional pains, all sorts of reproach. These are the things the devil is doing. So when God shows up with the elements of the supernatural, is to bring you holistic deliverance.
it begins with the salvation of your soul, but it affects every other aspect of your life that the devil won't let you rest. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14 and 15, for as much then as the children were partakers of flesh and blood, he said himself likewise took part of the same. For what reason? That he might bring them deliverance. Verse 15, that he might deliver them from him that had power over death, even the devil, and to deliver them who for a lifetime. Can you imagine that when the devil is attacking somebody, when the devil is oppressing somebody, when the devil is frustrating somebody, he wants to do it for the person's lifetime. But he said Jesus came to deliver them from that lifetime bondage. So it doesn't matter the area where the devil is working. He's not the only one that came. He said he came to kill, to steal and destroy. He said, but I am come. Tonight you will see the hand of God in your life. I say you will see the hand of God in your life. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you see, that he has come does not mean automatically all will be well. Because if that were the case, were to be the case, no Christian would have been sick. No Christian would have been frustrated. No Christian would have been in bondage. No Christian would have been suffering hurt. That he came means answer is available. But you need to know how to draw. And there are many channels of drawing. The channel of the anointing. The channel of faith. There are many channels to draw. The channel of corporate worship like we are doing here. But I want to specify one channel. Because of the emphasis that the Bible puts on it. And that channel is the channel of faith. The Bible said in four times, actually, Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4, Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, and Acts and Hebrews 10:38, it said the just shall live by faith. You know, when we read Romans chapter 8 verse 30, you saw that after justification is what? Glorification. So the bridge between justification and glorification is faith. That's why I said the just shall live by faith. That means when you are justified, the resources for your glorification are available. But one of the ways to route them is through faith. So a believer who does not understand the dynamics of the workings of faith, all that is required for life and godliness may be there, but he will not experience it. So his life should be an endless stream of wonders. But every day he sees frustrations. Isaiah said, I and the children the Lord has given to me. He said, we are for signs and we are for wonders. Even in the land of Israel. It's not only for Isaiah, it's for all of us. Because he said, these signs follow them that believe. The moment you come into the gateway of faith, your life is expected to become a wonder. So you must understand how faith works. He said, the just shall live by faith. If the just will be glorified, then they must live by faith. This is how the elders function. And you saw the glory that followed them. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 11, you read from verse 1 to 3, it spoke about faith. It said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It said, by it the elders obtained a good report. Now, what were the reports of the elders? Verse 33, time will fail me to speak of Gideon, to speak of Barak, to speak of Jephthah, to speak of Samson, to speak of Samuel, to speak of David, and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, who through faith wrought righteousness, who through faith obtained promises, who through faith shut the mouths of lions, who through faith quenched the violence of fire, who through faith put to flight the armies of the alien. These guys had results, but the results are based on what? The application of faith. This is why every believer who will live the glorified life must begin to function in the realm of faith. And if you don't know it, you will see it happening even with your brother. Yet you will not experience it. Many years ago, I was listening to Bishop Oyedepo and he said, you can't help your loved one to breathe. Everybody must breathe with his own nostrils.
using his own lungs. You may have excess oxygen. It doesn't mean that you have excess. Automatically, the next person will be quickened. Everybody must breathe for himself. If the just shall live by faith, it means your faith is primarily what will give you glory. So why another person can use resources of the kingdom to help you? He said you must learn to grow yours. The just shall live by faith. By it, the elders obtain the good report. So he's telling you, this thing does not begin with you. Some have used it before. These are the records. So if you apply it, you too will have the same result. Because Romans 15:4 said, the things that were written aforetime, it said they were written for our learning, so that we through patience and comfort of the scripture might have hope. One of the biggest irony of life is that everything you need is available, yet you may die of lack. Everything is available and available in abundance, yet you may die of lack. It said all things that pertains to life and godliness, all, not some, is available. Healing is available. Favor is available. Wisdom is available. Prosperity is available. Preservation is available. The one you experience is the one you have drawn. This is why the systems of the kingdom must be studied. The wisdom that makes for the realm to work must be studied. Because that's where your secret of invincibility lies. And I am persuaded that we will walk out of this place beginning to see dimensions of the supernatural work in our lives on a daily basis. Dimensions. Because those who are walking in it are not special. It is the God in us that is special. So every one of us who carry him becomes special. But we must know how to engage him in order to manifest the things that are available. But I tell you, one of the ways is the way of faith. In Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. It says, for whoever cometh to him must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We must master how to draw from the realm through faith. And that's what I want to show you this evening. The protocol. The faith protocol for drawing from the supernatural. I am too persuaded that I am created for glory. I am too persuaded that all I need is already available. But whether I experience it or not is my understanding on how to draw. The moment I begin to draw, my life will change. And there are many ways of drawing. But for tonight, let's examine faith, the faith gate, in order to access and to draw from the supernatural by faith. There are four elements of faith that must be engaged. If you engage these things, I'm telling you, the supernatural will become so natural with you that every day of your life will become supernatural. There are four elements of faith. Number one is believing. Believing is a component of faith, but faith is broader than believing. Believing may not have action. Believing can be a mental disposition on account of revelation accessed. This is why it is part of faith, but faith is broader than it. But if you will operate by faith, you must get to the point where you believe. That means the truth of the matter must be articulated. Because you can't believe until you have articulated the truth of the matter. This is where believers have problem. They know God has power. They know God is willing to heal, but they don't know how. And they don't know what to do. The problem is that they have not articulated the spiritual fact. The Bible said in Romans chapter 10, if you read that scripture, it said, how can they believe
except as they hear. He said, how can they hear except as there is a preacher? And he said, how can they preach except as they be sent? Meaning, believing does not happen automatically. It's a product of accessing truth and analyzing and understanding the components of truth. And I can tell you that many believers don't believe. They think they do, but they don't. Because for you to believe, you must understand. If you are not aware, you can't believe. Go read the story of the woman with the issue of blood. She was there, the Bible said, for 12 years. 12 long years. She was spending money trying to gain solution from everywhere. She had the capacity of receiving healing, but she had not heard. Until a point came, the Bible said that she heard about Jesus. Hearing about Jesus is not just that Jesus is coming. She heard that there is a man. When he lays hands on the sick, they recover. She heard that there is a man who can cast out devils. She heard that there was a man who could multiply loaves of bread. She sat down and heard, and heard, and heard, and heard, until she was persuaded. The proof that you have believed is that you don't only understand, but you are now persuaded. When you get to that point of being persuaded of the veracity of the information you have gathered, you have entered the realm of believing. That's where the journey of faith begins from. You believe until you are persuaded. And any believer, any Christian who will constantly draw from the supernatural must be persuaded. The Bible said Abraham was persuaded that God was able. God was able. It was a persuasion. The guy struggled with it for a long time. I don't know. I'm not talking about religious people who just act like zombies. See, you can come to church, anything they say, you nod until you have a problem. That's when you will go back and say, wait a minute, let me analyze these things they have been saying. Is it true? That's where the journey of faith begins from. But you see, those who are faith giants, they don't wait for problem before they analyze the matter. You sit down, you say, this thing of favor, what did the Bible say about it? What did they do to engage it? How did they engage it? You study it. You look at one argument. You check another argument. You check another argument until you are able to isolate a pattern. It happened with Esther. It happened with Mary. It happened with the children of Israel. This thing is true. Different context, different generation, result the same. Then you become persuaded. This thing they say about healing, what is actually the basis? If I ask a Christian now, what is the basis for healing? You'll be shocked that he'll be guessing. He won't know exactly what authorizes healing. He won't know exactly what makes healing a right for him to demand. He will just be telling you many things that somebody said. It will take a believer who has understood truth to tell you that the basis for healing is the price that Jesus paid. It's on the strength of that I don't beg God to be healed. It's on the strength of that I receive healing as my inheritance. The Bible says healing is the children's bread. The Bible said God gave us the right to be called the sons of God. Listen, in the realm, in the place of worship, rightfully, we can thank God for the privilege, for the honor, for the blessing of receiving from him, of being called his children. But from the realm of God, he doesn't see it as a privilege. He sees it as a right. That's why demons can't challenge it. If it was a privilege, demons would challenge it. The reason demons can't challenge what you have from God is because the court of heaven made it your right. When Jesus died for you, he legally took your place and you legally took his place. It's a spiritual legality. This is why no demon can challenge it. In worship, you may thank God for that privilege, occasioned by his mercy. But in the context of spiritual reality, it's an authorized right. It can be given through the anointing. It can be given through worship. But the basis is the price that was paid. Many believers don't understand the fact. And because they don't understand the fact, even when they act as though they believe, they don't. It's problem that will reveal it. And so believing begins with understanding the fact until your heart is persuaded. It's an internal thing. See, if I'm on the bed dying today, I will still believe in healing and believe it so much that even up to my last breath, I will not change my mind about the subject. I don't believe because I am well. I believe because I have known the truth. But you know the good news? When you know the truth, the reality, the circumstances align. This is why we are not sick. But in case we were to be sick, it won't change our position. We now believe beyond experience. Are you following? So if you withdraw from the realm of God, you must understand and you must be persuaded. It's called believing. When you get here, the truth and the reality is downloaded into you. Because the goal of believing is for download to happen. The Bible said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have." So the goal of believing is to bring possession. The goal of believing is to bring access. When a man believes, the door opens. When a man believes, access is granted. When a man believes, download happens. So in the realm of God, believing is not just a state of mind. It's a doorway to reality. Him that believeth, the Bible says, shall not perish but have. So the moment I believe in healing, the potential of healing is released. The moment I believe in supernatural prosperity, the potential is released. The moment I believe in favor, the potential is released. The moment I believe in supernatural speed, the potential is released. The goal of believing is access. Him that believeth should have. That's where your journey begins from. The question tonight is, do you believe in divine healing? If you do, what do you believe? I believe that the reason I became sick was because Adam sinned. Because that's what the Bible said. It said, by sin, death entered into the world through one man. I believe it. That's what the Bible said. Romans 5:12. I believe it. So I know where the potential for sickness was brought into my system. My system was not designed to recognize sickness. I began to recognize sickness when Adam sinned. That was when the human system recognized sickness. Before Adam sinned, the body could not be sick. The body began to be sickable when Adam sinned. Because that rebellion attracted the judgment of death. And with death came sickness. And when Jesus came and removed or paid for sin, what he did was to substitute my reality with the Adamic reality that fell. I understand the transaction. So when you tell me, why do you believe you can be healthy with these mosquitoes flying everywhere? Why do you believe you can be healthy with all of these demons floating everywhere? I said, the reason why those things could affect me in the first place was because of the first Adam. But now, because of the work of the last Adam, those things may be there, but they can't affect me anymore. It's an understanding. If you ask me today, why do you think you will prosper? I will tell you, because I am an heir of God. I'm an heir. I am an heir. The Bible pronounced me an heir of God. And so everything in the realm of God is my inheritance. It's not just salvation. It's not just eternal life. Anything in the realm of God is my inheritance. And if you argue with me, we'll check the life of Jesus. Let's find out the things he lacked. If he lacked anything, I am permitted to lack it. But if he doesn't lack anything, I am not permitted to lack it. Because I am not just an heir, I am a joint heir with Christ. So when I tell you I am favored, there is a basis. Jesus was favored when he was on earth. If I tell you nothing can stop me, there is a basis. Jesus was unstoppable when he walked the earth. Because everything he had has become my inheritance. I'm a joint heir with Christ. There are bases. So my believing is not just a mental accent. No, my believing has a basis. This is why even when men gang up against some of us, we don't pray about it. You can't pull me down. It's not possible. You can only pull me down
If Gang Up can pull Jesus down, if it cannot pull Jesus down, there's no need praying about it. The Bible says, surely they shall gather. It's not by me. It's every tongue that rises up against you. In judgment you condemn. It's not in judgment you beg God for deliverance. So when they gang up against some of us, we look at them, they are finished. They are wasting their time. Confusion has entered their camp. And check, after a while, they become scattered. It's an inheritance thing. It's an inheritance thing. You don't catch some of us praying, Lord, please promote me. No, sir. It's part of the package. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion that appeared before the Lord. The path of the just is as a shining light. It shines brighter and brighter. I will be shocked if my tomorrow is worse than today. I will be so shocked. You will need to give birth to me a second time to believe it. I know that my tomorrow is greater than today. It's not prayer. It shines brighter and brighter. There is a basis. I have the facts. And my spirit is persuaded by the facts. See, that's why. See, people like us, I don't dream and say, I had this dream and it's like I'm going down. No, I can't go down. What I would rather do is to stop the dream. Don't happen again. But going down is not, it's just like a man saying, I could be pregnant. Because, no, it doesn't exist. Men don't get pregnant. Mike, don't go down. It is not part of the syllable. So there's no need. So you know, some of the prayers you pray, you are telling the devil what is possible with your life. You don't catch me. The dream I saw yesterday is like things will go wrong. No, things don't go wrong. Because even when they go wrong, we correct them. It's an understanding. This is what we call belief. That we know certain things that inform our disposition. We know something. I am blessed. You know what it means? When it says you are blessed, it means you are empowered to prosper. I am empowered to prosper. The power to prosper is in me. When I hear people say, God don't prosper me, I say, you don't even know what you are saying. Well, if you are blessed, means you are empowered. I am empowered. I told somebody, the reason we seek God to take decisions is because anyone we take, we walk. The Bible said, whatsoever he doeth, he shall prosper. If I go into politics today, I will succeed. If I leave preaching and enter business, I will succeed. Whatsoever he doeth, he didn't say, let him pray for it to prosper. He said, he shall prosper. So I don't pray to prosper. Whatsoever I do shall prosper. When you find me praying, I'm asking God, which one do you want me to do? Because if I do the one you don't tell me, I will still prosper. I don't want to go to heaven and I discovered I prospered in what you didn't give me. That's why I am asking now. So we have passed the level of, Father, please let this business work. Let this ministry work. No, sir. The ministry must work. It cannot fail. It must work. That's what the law said. The king said, whatsoever he doeth, he shall prosper. The Bible said, not one word or tittle from the mouth of God will fail. I didn't bargain with him. I didn't persuade him to say it. He said, whatsoever I do. I wish I have time to prove to you by starting one business. And channel this anointing. Channel this grace. Channel this wisdom. Channel this presence. And you will hear suddenly that the biggest real estate person in Abuja. You will see me on the poster like this. Yeah, we are here. We are here now. Christians are passed. They are troubled by everything. Oh, this! I started this music ministry. Please, oh, I don't know. Help me, oh, help me. Tell this person about me. Please pray for me. No. You are telling the devil he can stop you. Sir, we have come into the music world. It's time to take over. We have come. You were waiting for us. We are here now. You don't enter politics and you are begging. I don't know the outcome. Oh, please. We have come, sir. All the problems in the political world, this is the answer. We have come to solve it. So relax. We'll take it one step at a time. But we have come. We have come to take over. When we started ministry, I came to Abuja. Somebody said, look at them. They don't know. You think Abuja is a place where you can just come to. They will soon run away. We? You don't know what you are saying. We will crack this city to its foundation. Crack it open. The city can't reject us. We will prosper in it. See, sometimes we are even careful not to run too fast and mess things up. If not, there are ideas. See, you just want to do many things. The ability is given. But we stay with God so that we follow His program. I'm telling you, I need you to believe this. Don't be in that corner where you think, the devil has not come. We are still managing. Let him come. Anywhere any demon is, come. We are here. Come and try. He said, test and see that the Lord is good. Come. I'm not making impact because they are not aware. They are fully aware. That's why they avoid me. See, this is not boasting. This is faith. This is assurance in God. It's not by power. It's not by might. It's by the Spirit. The scripture said it. The Holy Ghost is here to prove it. Somebody has one small boy. He said, they did a test. So I don't know. They are suspecting cancer. The cancer will dry up. That's the destination. It will dry up. It can't survive here. This is the temple of the Holy Ghost. It's only the Holy Ghost that is permitted to survive here. Nothing else survives with the Holy Ghost. Did you not read your Bible? If that same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead lives in you, he didn't say pray. He said he will quicken. He will invigorate. He will quicken. The Holy Ghost is there to quicken. To quicken. I know it. I believe it. He will quicken. See, when you start believing, your life will become, you will be like a crazy person. So sometimes you are walking and something will hit you. You will hear something. The other day I was moving, I heard holy men of God speak as they were moved. I said, oh, so I don't speak by reading. I speak by being moved. That means wisdom is a realm I have access. I don't need to read to talk to you. I read out of discipline, out of self-development. But what I say is beyond what I read. Holy men of God speak as they were moved. He said, open your mouth and we fill it with words. I used to be afraid when the stage is set. But right now I come as one helped of God. I come, oh my God, oh my God. Parakere Sasuna. Holy men of God speak as they were carried by the Spirit. Carried. I am carried. I am carried. I am carried, sir. See, don't read scriptures to quote. Read to discover. Oh, so I can lay hands on the sick, they recover. That means this hand is also for, it's a healing therapy. Now I know. Now I know. Oh, so when I need to talk, I am carried. Now I know. Oh, if any foreign thing enters my body, the spirit mortifies it. Now I know. Be storing what you know, then your heart will be persuaded. Your heart will be persuaded. He said, Abraham staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief. He was strong in faith. I know. He said, weeping may endure for the night. Joy comes in the morning. Oh, so the last 3 months was my night. That's not the destination. They rejected me 3 times. That was the night. The morning has come. You know why? Because the morning is not tomorrow. It's now. He said, our light affliction are but for a moment. So you decide your morning. My own morning is now. My own money is every time. These are my cogitations. Okuku parada. Imole de. Come on. Okuku parada. Imole de. Imole de.
Imole de,
imole de,
imole de,
imole de,
3 days ago, when I finished my meeting, I went to see Dr. Miles Moreau's church. Wow, what a man. And my mind went back to 15 years ago, 17 years ago, when I was hustling to buy his books. I was learning his principles. And when I stood there, I went and stood on his altar. Because I laid down and prayed, and then I stood and said, "We are here. Don't worry. One general has gone, another has come." Hey! Hey! Maratello Fenata! Many years ago, I read The Power of Vision. I read Rediscovering the Kingdom. I was reading Purpose. Today you enter. And even the people, the way God does things, they recognize me. Say, we are happy that you came. Hear this. Whatever you are going through now is not your destination. Whatever you are going through now is not your destination. You are rising up from the ashes. You are stepping into your inheritance. You are manifesting the glory. In the name of Jesus Christ. I know 3 men broke your heart. Don't worry. Your womb is for raising kings and prophets. Charlatans can't produce that seed. Relax. I know doors were shut against you. Don't worry. The right door is about to open. Didn't you read your Bible? It said the step of the righteous is ordered by the Lord. Sir, 12 years ago, 15 years ago, when we were passionate, we would have gone to some places that today we are celebrated. God stopped it. There was a time, me and my friends, we were gathering flight tickets. We wanted to go and see somebody. It was our prayer. When we didn't get the money, we were disappointed. We wept. Today, they are reaching us from there and say, "Please, sir, can we have you bless us?" What looked like disappointment yesterday is reprogramming of destiny. Hey! I prophesy to someone, your money has come. Hear the Lord. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh,
Kadosh, Kadosh,
Kadosh,
Kadosh, Kadosh,
Kadosh,
Kadosh, Kadosh,
Kadosh,
Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh,
is the Lamb of God. Things you dream of will become your reality.
That's when it will dawn on you that God was just showing you little pictures of your future. But I tell you, it is now. It is now. Some of you, the places where you are celebrating, you have promotion, you will buy them. If you hear stories of faith men, it will blow you up. Some of you, where they are fighting you for position, God will move you to start something that will be 10 times bigger. I met somebody 3 weeks ago working in an institution. It was the deputy MD or something. And the MD was afraid. And they were by fighting and troubling him. He asked God. God kept quiet. They now had a meeting with the owner. And as they were going, the board meeting, the owners were to be present. And God told him, this is your last meeting. As they left that meeting, 3 weeks later, he started the same institution. He was talking to me, the next year, his income doubled theirs. His income of the one he started. The third year, his income was 4 times. You don't know the manipulations of the realm. But in the name of Jesus, your horn is exalted now. I say your horn is exalted now. I speak by the authority of the scriptures of God. Your horn is exalted now. You think I knew I would be here now? I just believed that we were taking the world. I didn't know the timeline. But there was an invincible finger. Somebody's destiny is being re-engineered. Sit down for a moment. Dare to believe. Jesus said, if thou wouldest believe, he said, thou shouldest see the glory of God. No miracle is too big that it cannot happen to them that believe. It's possible. But there's a protocol of faith. It begins with understanding and being persuaded. That's what we call believing. You understand and you are persuaded. This thing can happen. And it will happen. When you live there, then you come to the second layer, which is the layer of consciousness. See what you are hearing now. See how scared you are. Imagine if you got to a point in your life where every day this thing is real to you like this. That's what we call consciousness. Consciousness is the ability to sustain the facts that makes for belief. Those things you heard that made you believe, you interact with them until they are real to you every day. So I call consciousness saturation. There are those who call consciousness awareness. But I'm talking awareness that saturates you on a daily basis. If you withdraw from that realm, it's beyond knowing and being persuaded that they are true. The fact of the reality must choke you. It saturates you so much so that when you cough it out. This is why those who walk in faith, they surround themselves with faith people. They look at things that stir faith. They hear things that stir faith. Because the order of faith, the ordinance of faith, insists on consciousness. It said that the communication of your faith shall become effectual, Philemon 1:6, by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you. I told you, believing brings it into you, but consciousness amplifies it. Whoever believeth, John 3:16, shall not perish but have eternal life. So believing make you have.
consciousness amplifies it. This is why faith people are given to meditation. I know that Jesus died for me, and I know why. Jesus died for me to pay for my sins. Jesus was buried to separate me from the world. And Jesus resurrected to give me eternal life. I don't just say he died, buried, and resurrected. I know what each represent. The death was judgment on my behalf. It dealt with my sin. The burial was my separation from the world. The resurrection was what gave me new life. I know it, but every day I chew on it. The more I'm chewing on it, the more layers are opening. Layers are opening. Layers are opening. Sometimes as I'm meditating on the scriptures that spoke of his resurrection, another thing will open. Eternal life means you are above corruption. Another time, as I'm chewing on it, I hear eternal life means you are a child of God. As I'm chewing on it, another time, eternal life means you have become a channel where God's virtues flow. And now look at my hand. I'm being saturated. I'm being saturated. You know the problem with many people? They know the facts. They are persuaded, but they are not saturated. The fact is there, but it's in the gray area of their consciousness. They have choked themselves with Nollywood, with Bollywood, with Hollywood, with Big Brother Niger, or with football. So the moment you cough, what comes out is, they know all the names of the actors, all the movies they acted, they know their demeanors, their charisma, they know all. Why? Because they kept their gaze there and they are choked. They are saturated with those things. Somebody asked me, Pigus, what? Which book is the best book for healing? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Somebody said he reads every 30 minutes. He carries the Bible. Every 30 minutes, he looks at a verse and closes it. You now see him boxing cancer. The man is saturated. Before fear comes, power. The reason you are not, you know, the danger of saturation is that the reality comes, but it comes late. So when a demon appears before you, the first thing that comes is fear. Something else is coming, though, but because you are not saturated, maybe it will come the second day. That's why you would have said, I would have rebuked it in the name of Jesus. It means in you, you know that with the name of Jesus, you can deal with demons. But it's not in your consciousness. It's after the crime scene that your answer shows up. There's an accident. Fear comes. Instead of you to, hey, as the wind bloweth, thou listest not from whence it cometh or where it goeth. So are they that are born. You know, it can't come now. It can't come. It's in the hospital when your leg is hanging with POP. And I'll say, but I am the wind. Why? You are not saturated. So you couldn't plug out of the He said, why men are cast down? You say there is a lifting up. But guess what? You are not saturated. So when challenge comes, you say, which can life be this now? Why you mean? Why always me? Then the devil say yes, because it's always you. But those who are saturated, when the arrow is coming, before it reaches, hey, the devil comes in one way. He flees in seven. Why the arrow is coming? When the devil comes in like a flood, the spirit of the Lord, you are always charged. It's called, we call it charging. The Bible says building up yourself upon your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, so we can saturate through prayer. As you are praying, you know what happens. After a while, you become like a mist. You rise up like smoke. You point to God's realm. I'm telling you, you become volatile. Those of us who know a little bit about chemistry, I can tell you something about crude oil. There are many things there, but it takes volatility for potential to be unlocked. If not, favor, mercy, power, they are all choked. But when you stare
You see that they are separated. Favor is this thing. Wisdom is this thing. Power is this thing. But if you are not stirred, everything is there but is useless.
There is a temperature where bitumen comes out. There's a temperature where liquefied natural gas comes out. There's a temperature where petrol comes out. There's a temperature where diesel comes out. But you see, if you are not there, diesel, bitumen, petrol, all will be together. That's the challenge. You know why the devil is giving you work every day? He knows that you believe, but he wants you to be wrongly saturated. So you carry your phone, you see naked people. You carry news, you hear of fear. So you are hearing of earthquake, you are hearing of war, you are hearing of divorce, you are hearing of barrenness, you are hearing of immorality. They are those, that's your consciousness. So there is faith, but there is belief, but belief is overwhelmed. That's why belief does not become faith. Paul said in Colossians 3 verse 1, he said, if you say you are risen with Christ, he says, seek those things that are above, where Christ seated on the right hand of God. Seek those things. Next verse. Set your affection on the things above, not the things of the earth. We don't know how to set our affection. That's our problem. Our affection is scattered. Set your gaze. Set your affection. Ask those who know some of us. Even when I'm sleeping, if worship is not playing, check. Andrew Womack is talking there. You reason with Christ. The devil can't destroy you. Something is entering inside. What are you talking about? The life of God is on your inside. It's just entering. He's entering. Then after a while, you are hearing Benny Hinn. He's just worshiping. He's just worshiping. The things are coming in every time. Sometimes I'm just playing miracle videos. Just be playing there. I pass, I see they collect crutches. I pass, I see, hey, you devil, come out. That's why when you see us manifesting, you are tracing different dimensions. Those are the places we draw. You are drawing every day. There are times when you are playing the Bible. Let it just be playing. Things are happening at your background. So it defines your atmosphere and it defines your composition. The Bible said, a man's value is not in the multitude of his possession. Who are you? What is on your inside? When they scratch you, what comes out? Somebody said, great men are not dressed in gold. Scratch them. You will discover they are made of gold. It's about what you are saturated with. Some of us, we don't condition our environment. So, we believe, but we can't see manifestation because we are not saturated. See, hear what I tell you. Every day for the next 1 month, play either message or play videos where you are seeing miracles. You will be shocked. I told somebody that any dimension I want to manifest, I will manifest it. Just give me 1 month. If I want to start coming here and prophesying, calling people's names, give me 1 month. You will be shocked. You know what I will do? I will gather the videos of all those who operate in that dimension. Gather all the scriptures on prophets. I read it every day, 10 to 12 hours. I'm reading from Isaiah. I can do a study on Elijah. Do a study on Elijah. I pick the prophets. I read until when I start dreaming, I start seeing them. And then when I'm not reading, I'm playing. People moving in word of knowledge. I'm just watching it. I will go as far as the likes of Maron Branham. As I'm watching. After a while, you meet somebody, you say, who is John? You don't know how this thing works. You are like an antenna. Why do you think the devil is showing you things? He knows when you see, you can catch. When you see, you can draw. There's an element in your spirit called Katalambano. Your spirit can attract things. That's why, see, how many church of Satan have you seen? How many school of immorality have you seen? The devil doesn't need to open a school. He advertises it everywhere. When you see it for a while, you start processing it. When you process it, you will do it. We need saturation. Go to work, oh, but when you are walking, saturate. The devil will be throwing walls through your colleagues that are godless.
See, don't sit there. You hear them talking about claw, talking about immorality, talking about death, talking about fear. You are just nodding. He's entering. No. When they are talking, you are blocking it from entering you. When you now go home, those things you heard, you wash yourself in the world to remove them. Have a bath in the world. Put a message. Enter prayer. Enter worship. After 30 minutes, you are cleansed. Then you go higher. A day will come, you will sit. When they are talking, you will hear. And then you still go higher. A day will come when you sit, they'll be afraid of talking. Because your reality will overwhelm them. They become careful when you are around. Because you are choked. Who you are is what commands your environment. That's what conditions your environment. Saturate my heart. Cause an overflow.
Whoa.
For a senior minister, and usually I don't collect honorarium from them. So when he gave me honorarium, I refused. He said, lay down. He laid hands on me and spoke. Begin to see things that you heard of. I went, the miraculous intensified. Started seeing deaf ears open casually. Tumors. I said, hey! People will say, tumor has it. That same season, God now led me to listen to a prophet. It's an old guy. And he walks in the miraculous. As I started listening to him, the way he ministers, he will come and say, God has healed that pain on your left ear, and then your back too. There's a pain on your back. It's gone now. He will be talking. He will say, on the third row there's somebody there. You have a brace on your, a pain, a dislocation around your neck, and your leg, one is shorter. He'll just be x-raying and talking. I said, what kind of healing? When people come with crutches, he doesn't pray. He will just say, you are healed. He will collect it and throw away. They will start walking. He will go, I said, what is this? Sometimes he will say, all of you who can't walk, come out. Everybody with crutches, they will come. He will say, you are all healed. Drop your crutches. They will drop it. They will start going. I now said, I think it was Otsonu. I said, Samson, download all his videos on YouTube for me now. They downloaded all. I sat down. I was watching. You know, it's not this type of watching. You are washing plates. You are chatting on WhatsApp. You are playing. Attention is worship. Focus is an act of worship. God values those who focus. That's why many things pass you can't catch. I sat on it like this. I watched for more than 3 weeks. I now went for a meeting. I was preaching. It's like a flash. Something passed. It looked like, it's as if I know. It's as if I don't know. It's as if I saw. It's as if I don't saw. I didn't see. Somebody on the third row, it's like there was a hole in the heart that covered. I now came and said, is there somebody here? You have a, I didn't say third row. I was careful. Because when you are learning, people won't forgive you if you make mistake. Oh, be careful. I said, is there somebody on the third row there? You have a heart challenge. It's like somebody lifted his hand. As I was talking, I was still talking. It looked like I saw somebody there with belt on the waist, and it's painful, and somebody lose the belt. This thing is like picoseconds. And I said, is there somebody there? You have pain on the back. I tried to be specific. They say yes.
We don't enter. We don't enter. We have come. The thing don't rest. So this is the secret. So now, when I go to preach, I take time speaking tongues. My tongue will lose. I'll meditate first. So me, I meditate more. I will lock everywhere, be quiet. I'm just worshiping. Sometimes the thing will vibrate in me. Vibrate. When I meditate. After a while, I will now finish and speak in tongues. So my tongue to lose it. When I come, I finish preaching. When I finish, I start worshiping. I will start seeing those like camera. That's why now we are relaxed. Can be talking your throat. You say, who is the person here? We have a. It was 3 weeks of beholding. We all with unveiled face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. We are metamorphosed. There is a transfiguration that can happen. See, you can become any dimension in God. Either from scripture through encounter or through those the Holy Ghost is working out that dimension. But it takes saturation. Who told you are ordinary? It's what you are saturated with. You are saturated with fear. You are saturated with the thoughts of failure. That's the issue. See, something can rise out of you that will break off limitation. I remember those days when I sat with Bishop David Oyedepo. I chewed on the man until even the tongues that he releases when he's preaching, I know them. I chewed. I could recite his sermons. A point came. I will go to preach. Scriptures started appearing to me. Scriptures. As I'm quoting a scripture, the Bible, I will see it. You can be anything. Some happens by encounter in the place of prayer and worship. Some happen in the world. And others happen as you are seeing the Holy Ghost manifest through other men. But be saturated. This world is plagued with distraction. That's why many will not fulfill destiny. I told you the grave of the 21st century is the handset. Some people are buried in what they are carrying in their hands because they are not saturated. That's why you see giants walk like dwarfs because of what is in them. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Why do you think even God couldn't help Abraham until he got him saturated? He said, lift up thy eyes. Genesis 13:14. As far as your eyes can see, I've given you. Genesis 15:16-17. He took Abraham out. Take up your face. Look at the stars. If you can number them, that is how your children will be. He was training Abraham on meditation. On meditation. So that Abraham can form a picture of the reality God wanted him to enter. When they were building the Tower of Babel, he said, this thing they have imagined to do, they cannot be stopped. Anything you are saturated with, you must give birth to it. Unless you shift and abort it by saturating with something else. It's like the process of insemination. Your spirit man is open. Waiting to give birth is waiting for insemination. What you saturate yourself with will produce an offspring. You are not ordinary. You are just saturated with nothing or the wrong things. See, I've seen sicknesses disappear from my body. Sicknesses. It just disappeared. It couldn't live there anymore. The habitat became hostile. It just disappeared. I've seen growth vanish from my body. I'm not praying. They just disappeared. Suddenly, they couldn't stay there anymore. Because if you heat water, water can become gas. So a particle can be in water so long as it's liquid. When it becomes gas, that particle can't be there anymore. Molecular structure has been altered. So cancer can hang if you remain just a skin. When you are saturated, you become volatile. Certain things can't stay. See, bad luck can't remain on you. Reproach can't remain. Near success syndrome can't remain. Just be saturated. See what will happen to you. People will come under pressure to bless you. Pressure to bless you. And you are wondering what is going on. Somebody sent Marvin a message and a picture of a Lexus here 2 days ago. He said, God gave him this Lexus and God knows he needs it. So he put it to sell for many months and it wasn't being sold. And as he began to be troubled and started praying, he now heard, this is Apostle Mike's car. How can my car be in another person's car park? The realm can be altered. He said, the lines fall onto you in pleasant places. You have a goodly... See, some of you, your promotion is in the hand of somebody. But the person is sleeping because you have not put pressure. Some of you, your money is in the hand of somebody. Some of you, your job is in the hand of somebody. I'm telling you, when you are saturated, the realm begins to move. Alignments begin to take place. Did you not read Ezekiel 37? Bones began to connect to bones. Movements begin to happen. Somebody is already blessed. Somebody is already delivered. Somebody is already lifted. Come on, shout for joy. And battles. I announced a scripture came alive in my spirit. There is hope for a tree that is cut off. At the scent of water, it will sprout again. I say, what? So even if you are cut off, it means it's not hopeless. Oh my Father, that means the stunted part of me can still reproduce me. You waste your time if you want to fight me. There is hope for a tree that is cut off. Can you imagine? How can you now end? Another time I heard, although you were a desolate land, no man came by you. I have made you an eternal excellency, the joy of many generations. That was when I told myself, my impact will begin when I'm gone.
somebody came to me, is your season? I said, no, we don't have seasons. He said, you will no longer need the sun for a season. He said, for God has become your everlasting light. Oh God, this, I'm choked. Sometimes you are being careful to be modest, because the way you are hearing the thing, if you say it, people will misunderstand you. But you are making your boast in the Lord. I said, somebody is rising from here tonight. You know what Satan wants to do? Put you in one corner, shove you off everybody, and he's telling you, this tumor is cancer. It's cancer. It's cancer. You don't know how demons work. They know the power of saturation. That's why demons are repetitive. You will die, you will die, you will die, you will die, you will die. They want a vibrational pattern to be established. It's cancer, it's cancer, it's cancer, it's cancer, it's cancer. Don't you see? It's cancer, it's cancer, it's cancer. Then after a while, you say, I don't know if it's cancer. And then they start telling you, you are about to die. You are about to die. You will die. You will die. And then you start dreaming. You start seeing yourself in a coffin. And then you come, you say, some of us, we may not live long, but we thank God for the little life he gave us. Sit, keep quiet. Don't know what you're saying. Didn't you hear that with long life will it satisfy you? I'm not going anywhere. I am right here. Here to make impact. Tell yourself that. Go where? Go where? I said somebody is rising from here tonight. Sit down for a moment. Let me round up. Let me round up. We are taking too long. See? Build a well around yourself. 90 to 98% of my friends are people who are burning. If you call them, they are either in the field of mission somewhere, or they are telling you what God is doing. You turn anywhere, you are inspired. Whether upward or sideways. Because we know the mystery. When you come to my house, there are giant televisions. They don't go on in my room. But when they go on, 99% of the time, somebody is preaching or worship is going on. So that when you enter the room, the thing it's like you are entering this. I want to see it and it's real to me. The thing it let it choke you. So that God will be squeezed out of your life. Who told you are a victim? The Bible says, who is it that saith a thing and it cometh to pass when the Lord has not ordained it? That means it's only what God says that is sanctioned. Number three, after saturation comes action. In fact, when you become saturated, action is spontaneous. You can't even control the action. It's spontaneous. Look at Peter at the gate called Beautiful. Acts 3:6. Silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, I give you. The man knew it was present. He had not entered church. He had not preached. He had not prayed. That means prayer is an added advantage for stirring. But the measure he came with is enough to jack up a cripple. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. The guy sat looking at him. I didn't say look at me. The time for look at me is over. It's time to now walk. He held him, pulled him up. The Bible said as he put him up, strength entered his ankle bone. And guess what? As he put the man up, the man now leaped. That means a leap was there, but it was waiting for Peter's action. Peter was too saturated to say, wait, will he walk? It will always work. It cannot not work. Get up!
See, when you are saturated, it is hard to think impossibility. I'm telling you, the thing will move you. I was preaching in Zimbabwe. Mighty woman of God invited me, and it was a vigil. And I was saturated. Watched videos, meditated on scripture. I thought I was coming up by 7. They now say, no, you are coming by 1 a.m. You are the last person. 4 ministers had preached. You expect that the people will be tired. Meanwhile, the people were in the stadium from morning. 8 a.m. Stadium was full for a meeting that was beginning by 6 p.m. Then 4 people preached. I was coming up after midnight. When they brought me, I was tired, but my spirit was loaded. You know how the body is quickly commanded by your spirit is such a blessing. You are so tired, then when the spirit rises, the body has no choice but to align. The moment I entered the place and I saw the crowd, you know, if you are evangelical, there's something crowd do to you. When I saw the crowd, I felt like Benihim. I started walking like a holy man. He said, follow them who through faith and patience obtained it. Something stirred. I walked into the place. I sat down. And I was waiting for my moment. When she went up and started talking, I began to pray. Lord, give me utterance. Lord, fill this place with your presence. Lord, do wonders. Open their hearts to receive. As I was talking, my spirit began to rise. And the way God worked, there was an anointed keyboardist. The first chord the guy struck aligned with me. I leaped. The moment I collected the mic, I exploded in 5 minutes. See, the place vibrated such that the light went off. The devil knew danger had come here. They battled with generator for 10 minutes, but I was high. I didn't come down. When light came, I took up again. Nobody could see. The stadium erupted. When I finished preaching, people were slain everywhere. Miracles were already happening. They didn't need me to talk. When I called for healing, a lot of people came out. Tumors disappeared. Eyes could see. Ears. I now say, wait, in this crowd, you mean there's nobody with crutches? I didn't know when I said it. You know, the Bible said, when I speak in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, my understanding is unfruitful. There are times when your spirit takes the lead. And before I knew what was happening, somebody was coming out with 2 crutches. The waist was twisting like rubber. You know these cripples that move as if there is no bone. Normally, I should be concerned. Fear should hit me. Because it's better you declare whoever is healed is healed. The guy came to the front. I was shocked. I couldn't imagine the guy not walking. You are too choked. Have you seen a drunk person? He doesn't notice anything you are saying. Bring police, he will slap him. When you are saturated, your senses are suspended. Check a drunkard. Car is coming, he said, be careful, be careful. He can't process. The thing inside has taken over. When I looked at the guy, I said, look at you. I started laughing at the congregation. I said, some of you are praying for me. Some of you think he won't walk. He must walk and I won't pray. It's online. Go check it. It's called Mega 8 Festival in Zimbabwe. I stood on the stage like this. I said, give me one. The guy gave me. I said, walk. It started moving. I jumped down. You don't know saturation. I couldn't stay. I jumped down. I started dancing. I said, give me the second one. He gave me and started running. The place erupted. These are things normally you are careful. But when you are saturated, he said, holy men moved. They were moved by the spirit. See, you are not saturated. That's why fear hijacks you. Be saturated. Then action will follow. Abraham staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief. He was strong in faith. He was strong in faith. The Bible said he didn't consider his body now dead, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He couldn't think about impotence. He couldn't think about infertility. He was too saturated to think. Imagine if you are living like that. What demon will come near your house? What sickness can live in you for 1 month? They will dry up. This is how we draw from that realm. Faith imparts the reality. Saturation amplifies it. Action possesses it. That's why I say faith without works is dead. You take it by faith. It enters through belief. It's amplified through saturation. Then you possess by faith. So the assurance of healing enters. It's amplified. Then you take your healing by force. This is the protocol. Look at the woman with the issue of blood. She heard Jesus was coming. She believed. She knew she would be healed. Then she began to meditate. She now said, I don't even need him to know I'm around. That's how sometimes saturation sounds unreasonable. When everybody is trying, Master, hug me. Master, come to my house. I say, no, if I touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. And then the moment that thing filled her up, she forgot that issue was an uncleanliness in itself. And she was not supposed to come to crowd. She broke and defied every law. She pressed into the crowd and touched Jesus. Jesus didn't know she was there, but she drew virtue. So God does not need to know you are around. Now, it's glorious for him to know, and he should know. But in case he doesn't know, you can still take. Jesus said, who touched me? Peter said, what do you mean? Everybody's pressing you. He said, no, virtue left me. There are many who are around who are not taking. And there are many who pass but take everything. Virtue left me. That was when the woman showed up. See, there are actions you need to take. But those actions will follow you being welled up. I was reasoning the ministry of Smith Wigglesworth. I said, no, this is not a technique. If you try it, you'll be in trouble. You don't box somebody who is cancerous. You don't box somebody who is dying. In America, you'll be arrested. He must have been saturated. If you ask him after those meetings, he will be shocked that he did it. It's not normal. That's how unnormal. I don't want to use abnormal. That's how unnormal your life should be. In any sector. See, in your business, you can be so saturated, you will venture into things that others are afraid of. And you will pull any virtue that needs to be pulled. Whether it's favor or wisdom, any virtue. Because action provokes possession. He said in James 2:19, he said, faith without works is dead. He said, the devil believes and trembles. But faith without works is dead. So believing is not enough until action is added. Verse 26, he said, as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. The man who is blessed, James 1:22-25, is not just the one who hears the word and accepts, is the one who follows to do. He said, that man shall be blessed. Take actions of faith. Sometimes faith will move you to talk. Don't keep quiet. It's an action of faith. Sometimes faith will move you to go somewhere. Don't stay still. Go. Sometimes faith will move you to give. Don't keep it. Give it. Sometimes faith will move you to serve. Don't stop. Serve. Those actions are the precursors for manifestation. I'm showing you why too much is available, yet many believers are barren. They don't believe. That means they don't understand to the point of persuasion. They don't have the consciousness. That means they are not saturated with what they believe. And then they don't take actions. That means their faith is indolent. is impotent, is inactive. That's why they don't have results. The day your faith starts acting, that day your faith starts producing results. And when your faith starts producing results, the last protocol is the protocol of worship and thanksgiving. So that you don't make the mistake of thinking, could this be God or me? The foolishness of man is that when he sees the mercy of God, he assumes God is not relevant in the equation. Until God takes off his hand. Since you think it's your talk, let's see. You know what thanksgiving does for you? It doesn't just produce the result, it makes you whole. 10 lepers, Luke 17, 14 to 17, came to Jesus. He said, go show yourself to the priest. As they were going, they were healed. One came back. Jesus said, where are the nine? That means the cycle of faith is not complete until thanksgiving happens. Jesus expects us to give thanks. Where are the nine? You know why many are not made whole? You know why many can't replicate the miracle? It's because they are ungrateful. The only one who was made whole was the one who came back to thank him. That's why what God did for you today, you may struggle with it next year and not have it. That he even came back means you are not made whole. But it takes thanksgiving. And unfortunately, it's only 10% that gives thanks. When God does something supernatural, only 10%. No matter the number you see, that's 10%. Many suddenly become ashamed. How can I go and tell the whole world I had a tumor? How can I go and tell the whole world I had HIV? Your end would have told us. Because when you are lean in the hospital, we will know one or two. Hope you know people talk. Have you seen her? Or have you seen him? He's dry like stick now. There's no hell. If it's not cancer, that's HIV. So that one way or the other would have known. Now that God accepts you, instead of you channeling the glory to him, you allow the devil to tell you, how can Abba, somebody like me, I go out and say, don't worry, the devil is watching. We give thanks. You want to draw from the realm of miracles, from the realm of the supernatural, belief. So get accurate understanding until you are persuaded. Then be saturated. Have it as your every hour consciousness. That thing you believe, don't let it slip from your hand. Chew on it every day in prayer, in meditation. Repeat it. Read those verses again. Sometimes when I'm reading the Bible, whether it's what is written I'm reading or what is in my head I'm reading, I can't even tell. Because I've read it too many times. So as I'm reading it sometimes, it's not even what is written I'm reading. Even here sometimes when they project scripture, I'm looking at the screen. But what I'm saying is not what is there. Because I've read it too many times. But keep reading it. How do you grow to this level? Is it the beans you ate 10 years ago that is growing you? Every day you eat 3 times. The same food and you are not tired. Some of you have ate rice for 30 years. You have ate beans for 50 years. Yet every day or once a week you must eat. You have drank water all your life. There's no day. You are 40 years old. You are 60 years old. Every day of your life you have drank water. Yet you keep drinking. And you will still drink this night. But when it comes to the word of God, but I've read this verse now. I read it 10 years ago. Is it in your system now? You are aware of it, but is it in your system? The thing has to be in your system. That's what we call saturation. Consciousness. When it is in your system, it will move you to action. It will move you. And then when you act, you will see the answer. And when you see the answer, never forget to give thanks. Glory. Glory to the Lord, for you are glorious and worthy to be praised. You are the Lamb. Upon the throne. holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Has no value. That's why Jesus said, the challenge can be as big as a mountain. Your faith only needs to be like a mustard seed. So the size of your problem does not matter. The presence of faith makes the difference. Size is not a factor. Time is not a factor. How long it has been there does not matter. Say to this mountain. You know why he's using mountain? It's not just size, it's longevity. These are things that have been there forever. Be thou removed. So long as there is faith, he said time has no value. It will disappear. You are the one that magnified your problem. But your answer is coming now. You know what I told you? Your health, Satan attacks it, God intervenes. Your finances, Satan attacks it, God intervenes. Your life, Satan attacks, God intervenes. Your relationships, Satan attacks, God intervenes. Your general circumstances, Satan attacks, God intervenes. So what God will do tonight is beyond healing. Some of you is relationship based. You have been working in this field for 20 years. When your helper is coming like this, you go like this. Something just distorts the alignment. Some of you is reproach. You do your best. The moment they see you, they just hate you for no reason. Some of you is near success syndrome. Everybody is getting it until it's your turn. The moment it's your turn, they say, wait, there's an embargo. Tonight, your story is changing. I said, tonight, your story is changing. Tonight, your story is changing. to show you the veracity of the truth that I have taught you. You know, there are four major pillars that regulate the supernatural. Number one is the presence of God. Number two is the authority or the power of God. Number three is the truth or the wisdom of God. And then number four is the will of God. These four things, everything we do is to align with it. Whether prayer, whether study, whether fasting, we want to align with God's presence, we want to align with God's authority, we want to align with God's wisdom or truth, we want to align with God's will. These are the four pillars. What you have heard tonight is the truth of the word of God. It has power. I'm not going to operate by an anointing or by a gift. You will see this truth produce instant results in your life. Some of you, it will be in your health. Some of you, it will be in your relationships. You will see that this week, strange doors will open via strange connections. And you'll be wondering, where have these people been in the last 15 years? The lines fall onto you in pleasant places. If I share with you the testimonies we receive, you'll be amazed. A woman ran to me in the Bahamas and sold some thousands of Bahaman dollars. That one is not for you, it's for me. Meanwhile, the Bahaman dollar is equal to the US dollars. It's just to give you some understanding. And she said, I started hearing you for some months. I was doing well. My resources and income is in 6 digits. He said, but when I started hearing what you were sharing, my income doubled. He said, I thought it was a coincidence. It doubled again. Then I knew it was the hand of God. So she said, it will be an error to see you and not bless you. I said, you did well. I'm not telling you cunningly devised fables. This thing is true. And it will manifest in your life. Lift your right hand towards heaven. I told you I was in the UK some weeks ago, or a month or two ago now. A young man came to me and said, I have become a millionaire in pounds. I said, we give God praise. I'm happy for your life. He said, it's after you prayed for me, so I know where it came from. I said, wow, glory to God. He said, and I know what it's meant for. I said, talk. Now you have understanding is with you. Speak up. He said, it's for the kingdom. I know what to do. I said, you are correct. He now went further. Said, can I have your account details? You know what you are saying. I'm telling you what impacts people every day. And in turn, impacts me. It's not story. See, that's why I'm not persuaded. We don't run around here. What job do you do? Are you a millionaire? Relax. This truth can make everybody. It may not be now, but it will make you. While I respect those who have now, I equally respect those who don't have. Because I know what we are communicating. It can turn a charlatan to a veteran. I've seen drug addicts come here. I heard you. The appetite died. I've seen harlots, call harlots, travel from different cities and come here. We see them regularly. So we know what we are saying. By God's mercy, is the truth of God's word. In the name of Jesus Christ, whatever has constituted a limitation, a weakness, a reproach, or an attack in your life, I decree now they are destroyed. I speak to your body, every devil that has camped there to torment and to oppress you, I take authority over them. In the name of Jesus, come out of their bodies now. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, not the house of a demon. Every demonic entity in any part of your body, I take authority now. I say, be bound. Come out
in Jesus' name. Every chain of sickness that you have carried until now, be it a mental sickness, a bodily sickness, I command that chain to break now. I speak to blood pressure, be normalized. I speak to tumors, disappear. From cancer to thyroid enlargement to fibroid to all kinds of tumors, in the name of Jesus, dematerialize now. Pile, disappear. In the name of Jesus, every blood condition, every organ condition, I take authority now. I decree, be healed. Be healed. In the name of Jesus, from hepatitis to diabetes to HIV, whatever it is called, leave their bodies now. In the name of Jesus Christ. Every ear challenge, eye challenge, brain challenge, I command it to get out of your body now. In the name of Jesus Christ. Every form of pain, arthritis pain, muscle spasm, every form of pain is hereby commanded out of your body. I speak to your bones, receive strength. Tendons, ligaments, joints, receive strength. From the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, receive your healing now. Every attack on your relationships that is negatively impacting on your destiny, I speak healing now. I speak supernatural intervention now. In the name of Jesus Christ, I speak over your career. I speak over your business. I speak over the works of your hands. Be blessed in the name of Jesus. Everything that has cost you pain, everything that has brought you shame, everything that has brought you reproach, they are lifted from off your life now. And anything that has become a threat to your existence, an attack on your life, I decree they are terminated now. Receive your intervention now. Receive your miracle now. In the name of Jesus Christ. You will not die. You will live to proclaim the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You will not fall from grace. Your walk with God is intact. You will not lose your fire. There will be no reproach and shame in your life. Every error programmed into your destiny to provoke self-destruction is reversed. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I bless your hand. I bless your mind. Wisdom for productivity. Oil for inventiveness. Let it come upon you now. Your steps are ordered by the Lord. You will not walk into a place where you'll be destroyed. You will not walk into a circumstance where you'll be undermined. In the name of Jesus, step into the right places from today. He said, 1,000 shall fall by your side, 10,000 by your right hand. It shall not come near you. Only with thy eyes shall thou see and behold the recompense of the wicked. From today, you will only hear about it. It won't happen to you. Everything that has a touch of evil, you will only hear about it. It won't happen to you. Now hear this. By the strength of God's Spirit, begin to grow. Begin to multiply. Begin to increase. Begin to expand. In the name of Jesus Christ. You are the Lord. My healer, you are the Lord that healed me. You are the Lord, my healer.
sent your word and you heal my disease. You are the Lord, my healer. I'm sensing an anointing here for greatness. I sense that God wants to install the seed of greatness. See, some of you, families depend on your rising. Some of you, nations depend on your rising. The pace with which you are going, you will affect many destinies negatively. God needs to scale things up because of the manifestations that depend on you. Now lift your right hand. Let's be still. I don't want to overshoot my time. In a moment, let the wind of the Spirit go through this auditorium. Go through the overflow. Go through those online. Let that fire rest and let it bring that impartation for the Spirit and the seed of greatness. There are about 14 of them. It's coming like a mighty rushing wind. Touch! Standing on holy ground. Hey! Hey!
And I know
a little one shall become a thousand. A small one shall become a great nation. Touch!
Let us pray.
Ushers, bring them here. We move you from obscurity, pedestal you among princes, to inherit thrones of glory. We are standing on holy ground. Some of you, doors of nations are opening. Enter. Our angels all around.
Oh.
Let us pray. Jesus now. We are standing in His presence. Holy ground. We are standing on holy ground. On ground, online, receive that grace. With God. Oh, the Bible says, daily men joined themselves to David until his host became like the host of God. In value and in impact, greatness with God. Somebody, you are listening to me, you lost everything. Even your integrity is under attack as we speak. I hear restoration. He said they go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion that appeared before the Lord. There is an unction coming upon three of you now. I hear restoration. And some of you, even what your fathers lost, God is not only restoring yours, but for your lineage. Graces, investment, inheritances that are ancestral. Maraca, Sevia, Tatona, Pariatoa, Shetatale, in the name of Jesus. Hey! I know you are here. Hey!
Rest of Holy Spirit. I know you are here. You are here to bring revival. I know you are here. Rest of Holy Spirit. I know you are here. Rest of Holy Spirit. I know you are here.
Time is being restored. Relationships are being restored.
I know graces, graces,
giftings, dimensions are being restored. Thank you, my Father. Thank you, my Father. Thank you, my Father. Just lift your hands toward heaven. For somebody, it's a new season. I hear go and start again. It's a new season. Because time is being restored. Relationship is being restored. Graces, giftings, dimensions, resources are being restored. And so I speak a new beginning over you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
I know you are here. Precious Holy Spirit.
We're out of time. Hear this. For the whole of this month, be ready for the supernatural. Supernatural sustenance, supernatural preservation, supernatural lifting, supernatural encounters. You will see diverse expressions of the supernatural. It is yours. This is your month of the supernatural. In the name of Jesus. Give the Lord a big hand, somebody.